Good morning on a Wednesday, 97.1. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park. We've got Greg behind the glass, Luke Sloan on the updates. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good.
It's good to see you. Heather, how are you?
Hey, I'm good.
How was your Tuesday nights?
I felt like it was a full moon yesterday at our house.
Oh, I like said the same thing yesterday. I don't know what it was, and I made the comment. I'm like, it must be a full moon. I knew it wasn't, but
the
it was weird.
We're all out of sorts, and it was a weird day.
Yeah, Teddy's been a little under the weather, and so it's been a long couple of days with him, especially hot. It's always tough when the kids are somewhat locked inside, and it was just so hot on Monday. I would have preferred to have been locked inside at that point. But yeah, it's been a long couple days, so it's not a lot going on last night. Jack had football practice, so we're right there. I'm so excited.
He has the biggest grin on his face as we get set to start the day today. By the way, you are not sweating. In fact, it's the opposite. No. Heather has a blanket on.
It's a little chilly in here, yeah.
I hate to be the one that always says it, but I was like, I've got to turn the heat on. Or, like, I've got to turn the air on.
The AC.
Yeah.
How different than Monday.
Yeah. And we actually do have Greg Hargrave back behind the glass. We've gone through a number of upgrades here at the building. They've redone everything in the bullpen.
Yep.
In the studio. We've got new carpet. I mean, it's been about a year and a half process. And I don't know if this is the last one, but the most recent one was Greg was in a different part of the building operating the board, could not see us, and now he's back there with a whole lot of shiny buttons. I just want to touch them all.
The kids cleaned their rooms back here.
Oh, okay.
Very Spartan in a good way.
It does look very bleak. There's nothing
sparse.
On the sparse.
Empty.
There's nothing on the windows. There's no
personality.
There's no row of pop bottles.
I was just going to say, you know what I do really like? Is that there is no row of pop bottles. I never quite understood that. I know kids used to do it in college.
Like liquor bottles?
Yeah, or beer cans, but like...
Well, other than Greg behind the glass, how many of those guys that operate back there do you think have grown past the college trend or the college tendencies? Not a lot.
They're for target practice during replays.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There you go.
Is that mic deeper in there? Like, you sound deeper.
I think so. I'm hearing
it's like very voice
echo.
It's like voice of
myself,
God
yeah.
back
wow.
there.
Okay.
Like,
oh, yeah. Greg yeah. Hargrave.
Yeah. Every time he chimes in, I will be like, "Well, we must listen."
Okay.
This is smart.
He has spoken.
He is usually smart when he says something, and usually so smart that I don't get it for about two segments.
Like, what was that joke from? Huh? Yeah. 8 o'clock yesterday. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we got a lot to do today, including starting with our Tigers team that has won 3 in a row, John. Panic officially over?
I would think so. It's been a nice little run here, and they are back to, 63 wins. They are tied for the best record in the American League. They are one back of the best record in baseball. That's the Milwaukee Brewers. So, yeah, I think, the 12 losses in 13 games, it was not fun. It was awful. It was miserable. There were so many people that thought that the season was over. We're not making the playoffs. There's no shot at a World Series. Now, it's not recency bias. I think we are all like, okay, this is not what we have watched over the course of the beginning of the season, the end of last year. They are a good team. They may not be great. Maybe it brought some people back down to earth, but this is still a good team. And ending the series against Toronto to get that one win was huge. Now, and we said it at the time, the score was not indicative of what that game. It was a little bit closer than the end result.
Yeah.
But
it gave him a win. Got him off.
It gave him a win. It got him off the schneid. It gave him a little bit of confidence. And what did we say about this Diamondback series? You're going to have to build a little confidence. Trade deadline, that is a different topic. Build a little bit of confidence so that when you go to Philly, a team that you could possibly play in the World Series, you got something to go there with. You got a little juice in the tank.
I don't think we're going to get any phone calls today. Of people getting on me for burying the Guardians. But by all means, if you're still of that belief, let us know. John, like, they're 9 games up right now, correct? In their division.
Hold on, let me scroll. They are 9 games up.
Yeah,
in division.
Cleveland is still below 500. Detroit is flirting with the best record in all of baseball, even with an agonizing, brutal losing stretch.
Yeah.
And they were never as bad as they were during that stretch. Now, if it casts doubt as to their ability to win a World Series, okay.
Yeah.
Deadline Eve, do something about it. But they're winning this division. They're more than comfortably up in this division. They have the biggest, largest lead in all of baseball in their division. And they're finally getting back to playing winning baseball. Winning series. I mean, today is for the sweep, but they've won the series already against Arizona. And they did it last night with the bats waking up.
Mm-hmm.
They did it with Gleyber Torres again, clutch knock. And they did it with Riley Green and his mustache. This is becoming quite the rallying cry, huh?
I know. It's a bit weird.
A bit weird,
but okay, last year it was, you know, don't let the Tigers get hot. This year it's, you're going to have to groom Riley Green's mustache.
Heather, did you see this?
I did.
The
I
players
did see
are
it.
All coming up and touching
his
stash.
It was like, yeah, it's weird.
It's weird, but hey, athletes can be weird. Just
speaking
Christian
from experience.
Wilkins.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Speaking from experience, yes, I have had a number of weird teammates.
Did you have a lot when you played? Was there anything like this?
Touching someone's mustache or something of that
like
nature?
Weird superstitions that the team just kind of decided this is our thing. Or a guy decided
this
is my thing.
No, we were never that
thing.
Good. We made the playoffs a couple
well
times. Yeah.
Well done.
We never had the best record in the NFL, other than maybe we were tied for it at 1-0. No, I don't know that we ever had anything like, you know, you come in the locker room and, you know, you rub somebody's, you know, you scruffle up their hair or you pop them on the helmet. Or, I mean, no, there was nothing really like that.
Any other types of superstitions, though, like maybe individual for you, like
not for
you have
me.
To wear a certain pair of underwear, or like you got to wear once, I don't know, like you got socks.
Oh, you're assuming I wear underwear.
Well, I'm just throwing it out there. Something weird that's like you got to
his superstition was commando.
Game.
I had, it wasn't a superstition. Like if I didn't do something, I didn't feel like, oh, now this is, today is going to be a bad day. I had a process that I would go through on game day. And it was, and even like the night before, it would be, it wasn't going to bed at a certain time, but I would pick up a couple dozen chicken wings because that was my pregame meal. Nutrition is for professional athletes has changed in the last 20 years. And so like, you know, before the game, I would sit down, I would go out. I was always one of the first to the stadium. I would go out, I'd sit there, I'd have my cup of coffee, watch the stadium wake up a little bit. It's part of, yeah. I felt like I was, you know, living a dream, still did. And then I would come back in the locker room. That's when I would, you know, partake of my pregame meal. And then there were just different, it was a routine. So I wouldn't say it was a superstition, but if my routine changed, I'd be
off.
Like, yeah, I felt off, but it wasn't like, oh, it's going to, you know, today we're going to lose or I'm going to give up 5 sacks.
Well, the Tiger new routine is Riley Green's mustache and everybody loving up on it. So actually, it was a discussion piece after the game. Riley Green talking about how all his teammates are touching his mustache.
Whatever gets the boys going.
Everybody's touching it. Boy, out of context, not great. Keep going, Riley. Now you got to keep the mustache, right?
I don't think it's a bad look.
Heather is giving you some side eye right now.
A
mustache
is
always a bad look.
But you like the full beard.
I do like a beard.
But not a mustache.
But not a mustache.
Why not the mustache? Don't like Tom Selleck as Magnum P.I.?
Let's kind of dated look.
Is Tom Selleck. Like, he wouldn't be Tom Selleck without the mustache. But am I attracted to Tom Selleck? No. Like, I don't think it's an attractive look.
Well, also, when your reference is Tom Selleck,
right.
It's a bit dated. I mean, mustaches, I know they're having a bit of a moment, but it's not the 70s anymore. It's not the 80s anymore.
Right, but I think if you hadn't known or if you are a fan outside of Detroit and you look at a picture of Riley Green, now I know he's had a beard before and he's shaved the beard, but he kept the stash. I think it looks good.
If you're going to have a mustache... It looks good.
It's a full mustache.
Sure, the mustache itself is fine. It's a fine-looking mustache.
Yeah.
Do I like it? No. But it is, yes, it is a fine looking mustache.
If you were going to grade it like Graham Glasgow graded it.
Oh, I wouldn't grade it a 9. I don't think it's up there yet. I don't think it's like.
I think Graham went 10.
No, he went 9.
Oh, actually, we have the audio. We can get the full review. This was Graham Glasgow from training camp. There was more audio post game.
Manicuring is probably key.
Oh, it is key. Oh, please. Yeah. We don't want to see food chunks in that mustache.
Or a bug.
Hey, Riley, has AJ Hinch touched the mustache?
So I'm curious. Well, yeah. I'll explore my curiosities when we return.
Oh, okay. 248-539-9797. Superstitious or not, the Tigers have won 3 in a row, and it's they're rallying around Riley Green's mustache, of all things. A Tiger in the clubhouse has come out in support of a deadline target. We'll get to that next as well. It's 97.1.
Hey, what's up, Detroit? It's your girl, Heather, and I'm always looking for ways to stay on top of my game. Well, listen, you know how much I rely on my phone for everything. That's why I got to tell you about this insane deal from Verizon that'll help you be your best self, too. We're talking a low price on the best 5G in Detroit. Seriously, whether I'm blasting my favorite tracks on my morning commute or snagging those last minute tickets to the hottest new flick, check this out. You can switch today and pay just $50 a month for a single line. You heard me right. $50 a month for the best 5G in Detroit when you bring your own phone on the unlimited welcome plan with auto pay plus taxes and fees. That's a no-brainer. Visit your nearest Detroit Verizon store today to lock in this incredible deal. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Rankings based on Root Metrics Root Score report dated 2H2024. Your results may vary. Additional terms apply.
Breaking the game open. Yeah. Riley Green and the mustache.
My curiosity was, like, before the game, or even during the game, if they need a little good luck, do they just walk by and randomly fondle his stash?
Or fondle's an interesting word choice, John, but yes, I'm sure they do.
Do they say, hey, Riley, you know, I need a rub. You know, and just rub his stash a little bit.
Heather, like, we're only 20 minutes into the show. We're just getting started.
Dude, what, like,
this guy's
going
to get all revved up over the next three and a half hours.
What do they do?
You're asking, do they need consent?
Yeah. Do they need consent? Or do they just, hey, they're walking by and they just basically smack him in the face. Hey, you know, thanks.
I think he's given the team consent at this point. They've won three in a row, and he's all about it. He did this. He shaved the rest of his face, left only the mustache to try to shake something up when the team had lost 12 or 13. They've since won three in a row. Beat the Blue Jays, beat a couple Diamondback games that you're supposed to win. But you know what? They weren't winning the games they were supposed to win.
Did you have any sports superstitions?
I'm not a superstitious person.
No. Greg, any sports superstitions? Like as a kid? And I'll give you one that I don't think exists anymore. And that's the rally cap.
What do you mean it doesn't exist? Like, I see it at baseball games.
Okay, yeah. So you see it. It's probably somebody who's 35, 45 years old, maybe older, and you know, had a couple of pops, and all of a sudden, hey, a hat turns inside out.
Yeah.
I have been to a number of youth or travel baseball games and softball games. In fact, I have been accused of having lost my mind because sometimes when the kids aren't, you know, they need a little bit of juice, I'll turn my hat inside out and I'll be like, you know, okay, I got the rally cap going. And, you know, Lucy looked at me the other day and she's like, Dad, have you completely lost it? I'm like, no, this is a rally cap. She's like, what is that? Now, she didn't play baseball or softball.
She didn't know what I shouldn't judge. My wife didn't know what a rally cap was. We went to a Cardinals game earlier this year.
Yeah.
We were in St. Louis for the Frozen Four, and we went and saw a Cardinals game, and she's like, what the hell is that?
I go, yeah.
It's a rally cap is what it is.
And so I'm just, is the rally cap still a thing? For those that are playing youth sports.
Is Gen Z killing the rally cap? 248.
Yeah. They're more worried about trying to figure out, how do we put that light bulb in?
Maybe it is slowly withering. But I still see it when I go to games. But you're right. It is an older crowd.
Yeah.
Rocking the rally cap.
Has woke killed the rally cap?
Yeah. Rally cap needs to come back.
I mentioned we have a Tiger who is endorsing a trade deadline target. Mm-hmm. Before the game yesterday, Gleyber Torres says he wants Eugenio Suarez. Quote, it would be a really, really good addition for us, two reallys, and said if Eugenio comes here, it would be awesome in every aspect. And he really highlighted the person even more than the player.
Oh.
But, John, this is a on-the-roster guy saying, go get me that one. Get me that power third baseman.
I don't know if this has any effect on Scott Harris or if he is looking at it going, you know what, maybe he was on the fence in regards to, do I want to give up assets? Do I want him as a rental? Like, how much of a difference is this the year to go for it? He's got all those questions, and then all of a sudden, a leader on the team, a guy with some playoff experience, a guy that's been a part of teams that have been buyers. Like, what's the juice does it give this team to just bring in a player like Eugenio Suarez? And now all of a sudden you got Gleyber Torres saying what he talked about and publicly.
Yeah, that's the key. I mean.
And here's the other thing, because everybody knows if you add a player, you're probably giving up for Eugenio Suarez. You're going to give up prospects. Mm-hmm. So nobody out of the dugout is going to be walking over to the Diamondbacks dugout, but somebody is not going to be there.
Someone's not going to play as much.
But no, there's actually somebody's not going to be there. You add a player, somebody has to get subtracted. 26-man
roster, yes. Yeah. Well, and playing time is going to get altered. But they all get that. Jake Rogers, I give the credit for really starting this movement where, hey, Dingler's hitting better than me.
Yeah.
I'll take a reduced role. But it's systemic. It's organizational. It's Javi Baez saying, dude, I gotta even though I'm getting paid a lot, I gotta sing for my supper. I gotta play where I can play.
Right. There's a big difference in the clubhouse of somebody getting a reduced role and somebody getting an airplane ticket out of town.
Yeah. But it's an upgrade. Would I rather have him than Andy Ibañez?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, done and done then.
Yeah.
The goal for today, Wednesday, don't let Suarez leave town. Corner him. Don't let him get to the airport. Do what you have to do. Because it would be a mistake for Scott Harris to let him get on the plane Wednesday night.
Give him bad directions.
Yeah, whatever you got to do. He's
Order him an Uber. Say, hey, we appreciate you're such a nice guy. We'd like to give you a first-class ticket to the airport. And then just have him drive around Detroit.
When Cody Bellinger was in town.
Check out some real estate.
Okay. When Bellinger was in town, he ate some bad wings.
Well, I mean, you've already tried to break his hand.
You don't want to give him food
poisoning as well?
He can't fly.
He has said he likes Detroit. I'd like to keep it that way.
Okay, get him bedridden for a day, one day closer to the deadline. Don't let him get on the plane today.
Sure. Costa's thought. Send him to the hospital.
Food poison him. It's Heather with the news. Next. Here we go.
Well, a teenager is facing felony charges after throwing fireworks at a group of people during this popular festival in Sterling Heights. So the incident happened at Sterling Fest last Friday, and police say this 16-year-old threw fireworks at two groups of people. So one, he threw this firework into like a carnival area, and then another near this gas station, which I've seen there is video of that probably captured from gas station video. During the incident, one Sterling Heights police officer was injured, suffered burns to his arm. So this kid is facing some major charges, including placing explosives near property, causing physical injury, possession of explosives with intent to terrorize, and injuring an officer. I've got some great news when it comes to the victims of the Walmart stabbing. Their health just continues to improve. So this is awesome. Two people have been released from the hospital, which is awesome. And in an update on Tuesday, the Munson Medical Center said that six patients were in fair condition, while one patient was in good condition. Two other victims have been treated, transferred to other facilities, and then two have been fully released from the hospital. So they did reiterate the fact that all of the victims are expected to make a full recovery. So
physically.
Well, sure.
Of course.
Yeah. Of course.
I mean, emotionally, that's a different.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. A woman is suing an Ann Arbor hotel after she claims she contracted this infection from its bacteria-infested pool.
Oh.
Ooh, yeah. So in this lawsuit, the hotel, which is the Residence Inn, is being blamed for failing to properly maintain its pool water. So this woman said she visited the pool during a stay. This was on June 24th when she unknowingly exposed herself to harmful conditions. So she went swimming, and it sounds like she might have had like an open wound or some sort of wound, which is how she got this infection. But she says the hotel knew that there was no chlorine or bromine in the pool and there was unsafe pH levels. And the lawsuit alleges that the hotel failed to close down the pool, take steps to correct the issue, warn others. And as a result, this woman says she developed an antibiotic resistant infection requiring hospitalization and several surgeries.
Wow.
Yeah. She says she was left with loss of function in her leg, medical bills, and pain of knowing that it was preventable. So she wants an amount more than $25,000 in damages as part of her lawsuit.
Well, so unfortunate, obviously.
Yeah.
It sounds like she is being somewhat reasonable with her ask.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say, higher. All of a sudden it was like a $3 million.
I thought so too.
Ask, yeah.
But I'm guessing it's whatever her medical bills were. She took that. I mean, she could have said her pain and suffering was worth way more than that. But it sounds like somebody did go out to the pool and test the water right after this. And lo and behold, zero chlorine discovered by the health department. So definitely they've got some proof there. Some sad news. A teenager is dead and one person is in police custody after a shooting in Canton on Tuesday. According to the Canton Police Department, a 13-year-old girl was killed in a shooting at Ridgeline Apartments. Police said that there is a person of interest in custody and there's no threat to the public at this time. Of course, very little information has been shared so far as to what led to the gunfire. So I'll update you when I've got more.
Okay. It's Heather with the news. All right. Coming up next, we're out at Lions camp this week, and there is a narrative forming, including some quotes from a notable Detroit Lion. Can they really be underdogs? Is that a thing? It's 97.1.
Hey, summers, we're right in the middle of it, and it's been hot for a few days. It's going to cool off a little bit, but don't wait. Whatever it is that you need, you got to give the team over at Mastercraft Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical a call. They take care of my house in every aspect that they offer. They'll take care of yours just as well. Upgrade your system now, and you can save up to $1,000. Give them a call for details, and you can also schedule a free in-home estimate so you know what you're getting into before you buy. They also offer same-day service as long as you call before noon. So give them a shout now. They'll be out today. You can find more information on the web at mastercraftheating.com. That's mastercraftheating.com.
He stepped up big on this three-game win streak. Slump over. Panic done. Tigers getting their groove back.
Knew somebody with a bat had to step up.
And it's a vet. It's a leader.
Yeah.
It's a dude who played in the World Series last year. And it's a dude who publicly said it would be a really, really good addition to add Suarez to this baseball team and said it would be awesome in every aspect. Mm-hmm. Message to Scott Harris. Do not let him leave the city later today. In fact, we got this ticket text, and I don't get these, John. Pushing back, it says, I don't think one guy gets the Tigers over the top and makes them a World Series contender, .. Sell Scooble. And
if we get another sell Scooble, trade Scooble, at this point,
okay,
like, what are you thinking?
John, I know it's not good business to insult our listeners, but to this one person specifically, you are an uncompetitive loser.
Yeah, what the hell are you thinking?
You are. If you don't want to add because it doesn't guarantee you a World Series, you're never going to add. You're never going to sign up to compete. And if you want to trade Tarik Skubal right now, when you have one of the best, you have the best record in the American League today?
Yeah.
You're an uncompetitive loser.
Tied for the best record.
Yeah, but my point is you're sitting there with a first round bye.
Yeah.
You're going to trade the guy you're giving the ball to in game one of the ALDS because you're not certain you're winning the World Series? Fine, don't add one, add two. Add Suarez and add Bednar. Are you closer? You want to compete? If it's not now when you have the best record in the American League, tied for the best record in the American League,
yeah.
When is it going to be time? I'm just curious. Is it when we have a $350 million payroll?
Yeah,
because I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Is it set in stone that the Dodgers are winning the World Series?
They're the prohibitive favorites, but you compete. You try.
if that was it, okay, the prohibitive favorites, so be it.
We would have been celebrating the Lions Super Bowl.
Well, yes, we would have.
It doesn't always work out that way.
No, and it doesn't mean that they're going to win the World Series. They have flaws as well. Now, are the odds in their favor? Yes, but that's why you play the game. If it was all set in stone that the Dodgers, why are we even playing the season?
Right.
The entire season is so that you get a chance to go into the playoffs. And in a seven-game series, if you make it to the World Series, you don't have to win all seven games. You have to win four of them.
Yep. Deadline day. We're going to spend a bunch of time talking about it today, tomorrow, and Friday, reacting to what everybody does, Tigers and the field, because other teams are going to add too, and that's part of this, is keeping up with the Joneses.
If the Tigers don't get Suarez,
yeah,
where's the worst place he could end up?
Seattle. Seattle's played us tough. Mm-hmm. They started the skid. They're a team that needs a third baseman. They're in the market for him. They're a team that's going to be a potential ALDS matchup for the Tigers, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what would you say? Like, yeah, it could be an NL team, but only matters if you get to the World Series.
I guess I would probably say Seattle, because I don't know how much Houston and Toronto are in the market for.
They haven't been linked
Suarez.
To him. Yeah.
So the teams that have been linked to him, I guess I would say Seattle, because you got to figure out a way to either pitch to or around Cal Raleigh.
Then they added Naylor and Suarez.
Right.
Julio Rodriguez
become,
is on a tear.
Right.
Yeah, it's a real problem.
I think it's probably the correct answer.
In terms of teams that are linked to Suarez, the Free Press has connected the Cubs, Brewers, Phillies, Mariners, and Reds, only one AL team. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean it's the only AL team in the mix. The Tigers are in there and probably a couple others we don't know about. Mm-hmm. All right, John, with the Lions getting back underway here. We're out of camp a couple days this week. There's a good buzz around this football team. Amon-Ra St. Brown had an interesting quote as the Lions got back to camp.
Yeah, his quote is, "We're not back to square one, but we're back to square... You're still underdogs. We feel like we play best when we're underdogs. We love being the underdog, and it gives us that hunger, that fight that our team is built off of. We're right where we need to be." And I was looking at this going, are they really underdogs? Because if you think that they're missing the playoffs, and we have callers that think, you know, hey, they take steps back and they're missing the playoffs, then yeah, I think they would fill that underdog status for you if they were to make the playoffs and actually do something in the postseason. But most people believe that this is still a playoff team.
A contender, even.
Yeah. And so the players can do the mental gymnastics and think whatever they want. Right? I mean, Jordan is famous for, you know, trying to manufacture some motivation for every single game. But I'm curious to our listeners, to our fans, do you think that the Lions have gone from, you know, the 15-2 team, the number one seed, the a favorite to be in the Super Bowl, and some even thought the favorite to win the Super Bowl, to now the year after that, they are back to being underdogs?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I don't think that's
You can't be an underdog if you're the division favorite, if you're going to have a home playoff game, if you have a roster of young all pros on both sides of the ball.
And Stoney and I did it on Friday, right? The best rosters in the NFL, even though they haven't signed a defensive end opposite Aiden Hutchinson, even though Frank Ragnow retired and they've got the two coordinators that are new, eight new coaches on the entire coaching staff, I don't think they can be underdogs.
No. I don't think so either. I don't feel like the Lions are underdogs. I think there are questions, there are concerns, there are obstacles for them to win the Super Bowl, but they are among the teams in the Super Bowl conversation. Therefore, you're not an underdog.
Yeah,
you know what an underdog is? The Chicago Bears. You know, an underdog is somebody who had a losing record last year that no one's really counting in to be a factor for a Super Bowl this season.
Yeah, first-time head coach in Chicago. A rookie quarterback in Minnesota.
Sure.
Jordan Love in Green Bay, and nobody knows really, is he good? Is he bad? Can he ever beat the, you know, win a big game, have a big game? if you're the favorite to win your division, then I don't think you can be an underdog.
No, I don't feel that way. Let us know, though, because there's been a lot of piling on of the Lions and you know, the offseason and losing coaches and losing players and not filling certain needs. Do you feel like they are an underdog again, to St. Brown's point? And I think this is classic athlete using whatever he can as motivation and more power to him. Like, I think this is classic Jordan.
Yeah.
Then I took it personally. Oh, okay, we hired a bunch of scrubs. No, we didn't. Our coordinators are good. You don't think we can do it? Just watch us. Like, absolutely, harness it. Go for it. But I don't believe they're underdogs.
No, and you know, again, players could think whatever they want. But we already mentioned the division. In terms of the NFC, I think most people think that the leader in the clubhouse before the season starts is the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
And they have lost some players. They had some guys retire. You know, Brandon Graham retired.
They lost Milton in the middle of their D-line. Sweat on the edge.
Yeah. You know, but trust me.
They'll be fine.
Jordan Davis, that entire defense, like, they are going to be okay. But there's question marks. I don't think there's a team, in my opinion, this year that you look and you go, there's no Dodgers in the NFL right now.
Right. There's a handful of really good rosters.
Sure.
Like and the Bills and the Ravens are in that mix too. But there's no Dodgers who's like head and shoulders above everybody else.
Right. So you look and you say, okay, well, Patrick Mahomes with the Chiefs, right? They're always going to be a favorite to win the Super Bowl. But what, they haven't done anything on their offensive line. In fact, they lost their best offensive lineman, Joe Tooney, to the Bears. And Rashee Rice is going to be suspended at some point.
Yeah, you would think. But they're not going to sell themselves as underdogs, right?
No.
They were in the Super Bowl last year. They're not going to go, well, we lost a couple key pieces. No. Let's get to George and Metamora. George, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
What's up?
Good. And, hey, I do not want to start this fine July morning off by being a negative Nancy, but I 100% believe they're underdogs. I was just at a business meeting yesterday afternoon, and we were talking about the Lions and the excitement coming up. And last year, I had an expectation that they'd be in the Super Bowl. This year, I don't think they're better than the Bills. I don't think they're better than Baltimore or Kansas City or Philly. So by my definition, I would be surprised if they won the Super Bowl. So to me, that's the underdog. The defense is still a big concern. We're 3 years in. I don't think they really addressed it much. I know we can say that Hutch wasn't there for some of last year, and we're going to have a full season of him, which is great. We don't have McLean in the middle. We got a rookie filling that spot. Big concerns on the defense. So, like I said, to me, there's probably four or five teams better. Still, interested in San Francisco this year, so I'd be surprised if they won.
George, by that theory then, so let me ask you this. Who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl this year?
You know what? Health not being a reason here, if everyone stays healthy, I think Buffalo is poised right now. I know James Cook is holding out a little bit, but he's going to the mini camps and stuff like that. They've got the easiest schedule. They're favored in every game. I kind of think that gives them an opportunity to get home field advantage. And that Josh Allen just had to have that Elway feel to me where he's kind of due, right? So I think, like, for me, they would be number one for me. That I would think Buffalo. That's where I would land.
But by your definition, the way you described it, if you're not the favorite to win the Super Bowl, you're an underdog. So do you think Kansas City, Baltimore, Philly, that they're underdogs as well?
Good point, John. I mean, that is. Do I think they're underdogs? No. I mean, like, for Philly and the NFC, they still got the best roster in the NFC. So to me, they're probably the favorite going. As far as, you know, in the big game itself, probably a coin flip. Buffalo and Philly are going to play each other this year, so probably figure it out a little bit. But I understand what you're saying. I guess to me, it's just like I would be more surprised if the Lions won. The tour last year, 15-2, they had it going. Yeah, I would be surprised. Like I said, I don't want to be negative with it, but that defense is still a giant concern. Like I said, they have not been good the last 2 years.
So you do think the Lions are an underdog. Interesting. So there is at least one out there. Ticket text, phone calls, 248-539-9797. Amon Ross St. Brown says, we're back to square underdogs. 97.1.
Hey, summer is heating up, and there's nothing more refreshing than an ice-cold Surfside iced tea and vodka or Surfside lemonade and vodka to break the heat. Made with real brewed tea and real vodka, Surfside is only 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar, and zero bubbles. That's right, no carbonation, so it's super easy to sip and enjoy no matter what your plans are this weekend. Look for the can with the sunset stripes. Sold at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
Lions were on top of the world last year. Even with the injuries, just kept winning 15-2, Super Bowl bound. Very different energy right now going into the season. Amon-Ra St. Brown says, we're not back to square one, but we're back to square you're still underdogs. Mm-hmm. And we feel like we play best when we're underdogs. It's how they have shifted their mentality. But we raised an eyebrow with the term underdog because the Lions are still one of the Super Bowl contenders.
They are. And I mean, if you're, let's just take the NFC right now. And I know, hey, Tampa with Baker Mayfield and the skill that they have, you know, at the skill positions, their offensive line is good.
Yep.
Philly, we've talked about them. The Rams always seem to come up. San Francisco, I know they've got a very easy schedule this year. And so people are looking at them as, you know, hey, they got rid of some dead weight.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden they're ready to, you know, hit the, you know, the recharge button and they're back. I don't see them as teams that are as good as the Lions.
Okay, so is it you lose two
Philly.
Yeah, you lose two coordinators, you lose two offensive linemen, all pros, Pro Bowl guys. You still have this question about the edge opposite Aiden. I mean, is that the tough
Zeitler
schedule?
Zeitler was not a Pro Bowl guy last year.
2 years ago he was.
Yeah.
And he was highly productive last year.
Sure.
My point is you lose two key cogs of one of the best offensive lines in football. It's just, is it part of why St. Brown can sell this? Because some people are buying it. Like Ticket Textures says, everybody in the media has them taking a step back. Yeah, they're underdogs.
I guess you got to define what taking a step back means. If it's just, hey, they win 14 games this year instead of 15, is that a step back? Well, in terms of wins and losses, it is. But they could be, by that time, a better team than they were last year.
Good morning, fellas. They are underdogs. They got beat by a rookie quarterback and, well, say humiliated. Says they didn't adjust the defense. It was the biggest problem. They've done nothing. Yes, they are underdogs. The way you guys talk about the schedule, they're underdogs. Until we get McNeil back, they won't be an elite team. Yes, they're underdogs. I didn't think people were going to buy into this. Some are with us, John. Absolutely not. The Lions aren't underdogs. They definitely have eyes on them to see if they can recover, but they're definitely playoff bound, 12-5, Josh, from work. Look, and in that world, you have a home playoff game. We know nothing's guaranteed, but they should be favored in that home playoff game, and they should be in a position again to compete for the Super Bowl. You're not an underdog.
Yeah, and I don't think just because they play Cincinnati on the road, Baltimore on the road, Kansas City on the road, I don't think they go 0 for all those games.
They'll lose some. They won't lose all.
They might, yeah.
Might. You think they could win all of them? See how you slipped
that in. Sure, they haven't played the games yet.
I think people are not as confident as last year, but not really an underdog. That's another unnamed texter. Knowing St. Brown's standards, maybe he isn't thinking so much about the league or the division, but the Super Bowl, maybe in context like your caller, Bills, Ravens, Chiefs, and Eagles, they are underdogs to those teams.
Yep.
You got to kind of twist it to get there, though. You really got to work to make yourself an underdog. We're not the Kansas City Chiefs or the Philadelphia Eagles, therefore we're underdogs. The Bills have an easier schedule and loaded up on defense in the draft and free agency.
Reigning MVP.
Fine. Okay. I don't know. To me, underdogs reserved for like a worst to first team. It's reserved for a team that has little to no expectations. It's a team with a first-year coach or a new quarterback or...
So let's put it this way, too. Going into that game against Washington, Washington was an underdog.
Yes.
And they won. I mean, maybe you have to be a double-digit or 9.5-point or lower, you know, dog to be able to say you're an underdog. I don't think that the Lions go into any game this year where the line is more than, I don't know, 4.5, 3.5. I don't even know what the preseason lines are, but like, what's the line going to Kansas City?
Oh yeah, I mean, it's not going to be like they're,
it's not a touchdown
dogs. No, yeah. I mean, they'll set that. If I had to guess, 3.5, something like that.
Sure.
And who knows? I mean, some of it's how are you playing at the time. We see the lines move based on injury reports right. And all this stuff. Ticket Texter says, I do think that they are underdogs. He says, the expectations, the feelings, I just don't have the same as I did the last 2 years. I think they're going to be a mediocre, maybe a little above team.
So what it feels like, those that believe they're an underdog, is unless you are favored to win the Super Bowl, you're an underdog. But or by that classification, then there's 31 teams that are underdogs.
Right. It's convenient that the cutoff is if you're not one of the top four teams,
right, yeah,
you're an underdog.
Yeah.
Well, what if we make it top five? I mean, like, it's splitting hairs at that point because the guy called in and goes, I got four teams ahead of them, so they're underdogs.
Yeah, three of them in the AFC and only one in the NFC.
So you're one of the two best teams in the NFC, one of the five best teams in football, and I got to look you in the eye and accept that they're an underdog.
No.
I don't feel that way. Ticket Texter says they are definitely underdogs. The talent is there, but they've taken steps back. Ben in Lake Orion. And Jeff in Pontiac says they're not underdogs. They're underachievers.
Okay. Yeah. They did underachieve last year.
I buy that. Sure.
But by underachieving, it was they didn't beat Washington. If they had gotten to the NFC Championship game with the injuries that they sustained, I don't think they would have been underachievers if they lost to Philly.
No. Not given the roster,
the circumstances
at the time,
at the time,
yeah. Healthy, that would have been a hell of a football.
It would have been fun, yeah. And we are not sitting here saying, oh, if they were healthy,
no,
they would have won.
I think that's disrespectful to the Eagles, who were on a tear and were winning by double digits in most of their playoff games.
I think we vastly underestimated the Eagles last year.
The reason I feel like the Lions are an underdog, Ticket Texter says, is the way they lost to the Commanders. It was shocking, and I just can't get it out of my head. How about this for a definition? You can't be an underdog if A, you're a team that's won the Super Bowl recently, Chiefs and Eagles, or B, everyone expects you to, Bills. So everybody else, the Ravens are an underdog?
Yeah.
I think they're an underachiever to the other texter's point, like
Lamar
the Ravens
in the playoffs.
Yeah. And you could say, look, the Lions, they underachieved last season. Fine. I'll call them an underachiever before I'll call them an underdog.
Yeah. I just don't think that... It doesn't fit my definition, and it really just comes down to what do you feel your definition of an underdog is?
Speaking of an underdog, would you say a guy who was drafted dead last, Mr. Irrelevant, is an underdog?
Yeah.
I would say so. What if that guy is on his third team in 4 or 5 seasons, fighting for his spot in the NFL? Grant Stewart, new Detroit Lions linebacker, special teams ace, had a chance to catch up with an underdog after practice yesterday. We'll get to that next after the update. It's 97.1.